Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
I just like the whole all-in kind of approach to life, to ministry, that it's like, man, let's go pick a fight where we're all in. And I think that the synergy and the camaraderie and the team aspect of that is something that really enriches a lot of lives. I know that every person here today, you've come here because you want to be better. And you want to get better in your life. You want to be better in your life. You want to overcome in your life. And I appreciate that because that's where I'm at. Man, I want to continue to get better at everything. I don't want anything lagging in my life. But I'll tell you, life is just decisions. It's decisions and problem solving. You get good at making decisions and you become a problem solver, you're going to have a pretty good life, okay? I'm just telling you, because the bottom line with this is that it's a series of trials and tests. That's what life really is. It's how we're tested. It's the trials that we go through. And the true trial that we go through is kind of the trial, is God really who he says he is? Are we living our lives where the fruit of our life and the mission of our life really does represent the living God? That's the trial, okay? But the testing is a test. It's not a test of our finances, our test of our health, our test of our strength, our test of our personality, our test of our gumption. It's a test of our faith. See, whether you're a Christian or not, you go through tests. But as a Christian now, every test that we have, every test that we go through, it's a test of our faith. Am I going to trust God in this situation? Am I going to trust God through this circumstance? See, and once we realize that, we can begin to really navigate things and really, truly begin to overcome in everything we do. As a Christian, your faith will be tested. And it's interesting because in 1 Peter, the first chapter, and I think the seventh verse, Peter even says that this faith is tested as by fire. See, so God's given to each of us a measure of faith, and that faith is designed to go through fire. Okay, no matter what it is we face. Man, all of us have taken what we perceive to be haymakers from the devil, haymakers from the enemy, and yet you're not knocked out. Yet you haven't thrown in the towel. Yet you haven't given up. I'll tell you, I believe our life is, it, no matter what kind of assault the enemy's trying to take on your life, you don't quit, you don't give up, you're gonna win. And I'll tell you, all of us have that thing in us that, man, we're built, we're designed, we're supposed to win. Man, the plan is to win. Well, we win this by our faith. We win, listen, by overcoming. That's how we win. We don't win because nothing ever, we don't have any adversity. We don't not win because, man, we win because, man, we face adversity and we win overcoming that adversity no matter what. That's why Jesus said this, and I want to, what I'm going to do from last Wednesday night, if you were here Wednesday night, this is going to sound similar initially, okay? Because what I designed this message at the beginning, this message was going to be an add-on to what I preached Wednesday night, okay, at the Wednesday night service. And it was going to be in addition to. But God flipped that on me, okay? And it's become not just in addition to, it's going to be stacked upon it. It's going to be layered upon Wednesday night. And what Jesus said in Acts 1:8, he said, you'll receive power. Everybody say power. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And he said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Let me tell you what's interesting about this. What's interesting about this is that we'll be witnesses because of the power that we receive when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. See, and the Holy Spirit coming upon our life, he comes with power. And the Bible says that that's wonder-working, our dunamis, our dynamic, our dynamite type of power. Man, power that it changes, it goes from an Old Testament, man, God's somewhere, and we got to go find him. And here's a little eyedropper, little drips of dynamic power that hit our life once in a while. And it shifts that to the dynamic power that lives on the inside of us now. It's not like this dynamic power is something that I'm searching for. It's a dynamic power that I have because the Holy Spirit's come upon my life. See, and what this is, it's the very hope of glory that was hidden for generations in the old covenant. That hidden where they're searching for God. We don't have to anymore. He's in us. And that's the hope of glory. See, so now God's in us, and God comes, his power, his Holy Spirit is in us. It comes upon us, and then it works around us. And that around us part is really, because he's in us and upon us, he works through us. And it impacts people where we thought, man, what could I do for them? You know, I mean, to the point where Peter and John came to the Gate Beautiful, and here's this beggar that said, silver and gold have we none. But in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. See, we're an earthen vessel, a truly pretty worthless vessel. Worth just, I mean, pots of clay, that's what we're worth, okay? But we carry a treasure. There's a prize on the inside of us. There's the hope of glory on the inside of us. Listen, for mankind. But see, we're witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what Acts 1:8 says. Now listen, as witnesses, because there's a case against God that the enemy, the world, the prince of the power of the air of the world is bringing to say God's not alive. God's not who he says he is. God's fraudulent. Man, there's so many other ways to God besides Jesus. You can worship a light bulb if you want. That could be, it's all just about having a higher power kind of mentality. And I'm telling you, that's all fraudulent. See, so the case has to be made that God's real, that God's alive, that God's powerful. And that case comes through us as believers. The world has to see us and our good works, and it glorifies God. See, there's people say, man, I'm not saved by works. No, you're not. You're saved by grace through faith, and that's not it's a gift, but we're saved to good works so that people can see the goodness of God. People can see that it's not us just trying to get by or us just trying to get our stuff. Let me tell you why miracles are prevalent other places. It's because miracles, listen, are not designed just for us to get our rent paid. Or us to get a new truck. It's to impact the people around us. Man, when your miracle begins to glorify God and impact people, I'm telling you, you have it. And see, that's how this works. See, and the idea of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, I could get up here, man, we could say, let me just tell you, from right here, because of technology, we've got cameras, we've got internet feeds, we can stream it, we can go all over the world. Let me just tell you, I can wear makeup, you're never gonna see a blemish, you're not gonna see a scar, you're not gonna see a miscut, you're not gonna see a chip, you're not gonna see a crack. It's like, I could stand up here and we could put filters on it. Man, we could edit some of the stuff, the stuff that's the stupid stuff that comes out of my mouth. We're gonna edit that. We're not gonna display any of that. So it's gonna be kind of a cartoon cutout. It's gonna be a cardboard cartoon cutout of who I wanna be or who would be projected as being better rather than me. And that works in the uttermost parts of the earth with the technology we have. Doesn't work in Jerusalem. See, what's hard is you're close enough to see. You can see kind of the faint limp that I might have from previous injuries or missteps in my life. See, and so now this has to work whether people are looking close or whether it's time zones away. See, it works in either case. And see, we look at this and we have to understand now that the idea of the power of the resurrection that we live in is just amazing. In Acts, the 10th chapter, Peter gets up and he's preaching. He's preaching in Cornelius' house. And he opened his mouth. He said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. See, now we look at this. See, God anointed Jesus, the firstborn among many brethren, okay? The precursor for me. So what happened is because of the death and resurrection, the overcoming that Jesus won at Calvary and in the tomb and then in hell, death in the grave and hell, and he rose from the dead, now that brings me into the equation, a future son, if you will, to God. See, so now this idea is that the Holy Spirit comes with power. Our faith is designed to be able to withstand fire. But see, we look at this and we have to understand that the power is miraculous in nature, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And here's what it boils down to. It's power over sin. It's power over anything that separates us from God. See, so you look at your life and you're thinking, man, there's things I do that I wish I quit doing. And it boils down to where you are and who you're with. Because God's given you a power over sin, a power over any separation that the world brings, a wedge that the world brings between us and him. Who Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And then in verse 44, look at what happens. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. The Holy Spirit fell upon them and power. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, in the first five verses, you know, this is so interesting because what Paul says, he said, I, brethren, when I came to you, didn't come to you with the excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. The next verse, I was with you in weakness. Now, this is what's amazing. In verse 3, he gets totally vulnerable with us. He says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. See, you're thinking, yeah, I have to deal with that in my life, but I'm sure the man of God with the mic on, you don't have to deal with that stuff. And let me just tell you, Paul, who wrote authored two-thirds of the New Testament, who was the point of the spear in reaching the Gentile world, he stands and he says, look, in weakness and in fear and in much trembling that I was with you, and you saw it all. These people lived that closely to him. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. See, that power comes back into play now. See, the power, it takes it from this ethereal kind of, well, oh, the Spirit of God, and man, it's wifty, it brings a true power to live and overcome and really to live at a level above any kind of sin. Man, that's the power that God gives us. Man, he baptizes us in the Holy Spirit and in power. Power always comes with the Holy Spirit, and it's power to live righteously. Man, but he came in demonstration of that power. And then verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, and this is key. There's so much common sense. There's so much out there where it's like, well, you know, you got to have common sense. And man, you got to listen to the experts. And you got to listen to, and you know what? I believe in common sense. I believe in experts. I believe in information. But let me, I tell you, I put my trust in God's word. I put my trust in God's promise. In 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul writes and says, God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and he was talking about bondage. And the church at Rome, in Romans 8:15, he said, you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received a spirit of adoption, whereas you cry out, Abba, Father. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. What's he given me? A spirit of power. See, this bondage that we have and the fear that really brings us into that bondage, God hasn't given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. See, it puts, as a believer, as a Christian, man, the Spirit of God that comes upon our life puts fear in a rightful perspective, that it's the deception that the enemy uses. He uses fear. Man, look at how many times in the Word where the Bible says, don't be afraid, be courageous. Man, don't fear. Man, it's hundreds of times throughout the Word, the Old and the New Testament. Man, if you could get past it, the two things, let me tell you, the true enemies, the enemy of this life is not in somebody that lives in a different part of the world. The enemy of this life isn't somebody with a different color skin. The enemy isn't somebody who speaks a different language. It's not even somebody who believes differently. That's not the enemy. The enemy of this life boils down to two significant enemies, and one of them is fear. And the other is pride. Let me tell you get through, you get by the enemy of fear, and the next thing you know, you're on this path, and the next thing you know, you're thinking, man, I'm good enough. I've done this long enough. It's well enough with me. Man, I've got this. Man, and then you start looking at people that don't have it, and you start looking at them critically and judgmentally. And the next thing you know, pride comes up. And let me just tell you, with fear comes bondage. With pride comes the fall. See, what's amazing is you might look at it and you see athletes and businessmen and politicians, guys that fall. See, I see ministry people that fall because that's what I do. And when ministry people fall, it's like, wait a second. Man, I've had super good friends that have fallen into sin. And that sin should have winged them. Maybe they should be limping for a while, but it never should have taken them out, yet it does. And you know why? Because that sin attached with pride brings the fall. See, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us, let me just tell you, you look, we've got a certain gait where there's a little bit of limp to it. There's some scars on us. Man, there's some things, but let me just tell you, what God does is God brings a remission of sin. See, he forgives our sin, which is amazing. Man, Sandy forgives me. But let me tell you, not being God, she can't remit my sin. She can't remit. She'll forgive missteps. She'll forgive things that I say. But let me tell you, the remission of it belongs to God. That's why our trust has to be in him. And that word remission is so powerful, yet let me just tell you, so underutilized and misunderstood. It's as misunderstood a principle in the Word as there is. Because the remission of sin, let me just tell you, it annuls it, it expunges it like it never happened. That God throws it as far as the east is the west, never to be heard from again. But listen, and into the sea of forgetfulness. Do you understand? There's people that'll say, well, you know, God can do anything. I don't believe he can. I don't believe that God can be a respecter of person. I don't believe God could lie nor change. I also don't believe that God can remember a forgiven and a remitted sin from one of his sons and daughters. He can't remember it. You could bring it up to him. You could say, God, remember when I got in the flesh and I actually got into sin? I crossed that line. I was mad. I was driving. I was angry and I got into sin. And you know what? You've confessed that sin. You've asked God to forgive you that sin. You've even confessed it to a brother. And the next thing you know, you go to God. God's going, what are you talking about? I don't remember. See, that's how much the love of God, that's how great, that's how deep that love is for us. He forgives us, and then he forgets it. See, that forgetting part of this is the Holy Spirit and power. It's the release of power in our lives. That's where the true liberty of life is understanding that God is not accounting your sin against you. It all funnels to that place reserved for the blood of Jesus. That name above every name. Man, listen to this. Take this to heart. God loves you so much. He doesn't account the wrong that you think, say, and do whenever you approach his forgiving power. Man, a multitude of sin. And he throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. So that life of shame and regret and, nah, I can't do it, I have too much baggage. Let me tell you, that life can end right here and right now. Man, you could get in that place of freedom and that place of liberty. That's why God sent Jesus to the cross. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's for us to live in that place of freedom. Man, when we're not held to the bondage. Man, it came in. Let me just tell you, the children of Israel cried out for the law. God never intended for us to live by the law. Man, the Bible says the law kills, but the Spirit brings life. He's given us his Spirit and his power to live above that. But let me tell you, man, the children of Israel cried out for the law, so he gave them the law. And you know what that taught them? That they couldn't live by it. You know what that taught them? Man, don't covet your neighbor's possessions. And you're standing on your side of the fence thinking, I wonder what he's got over there. I wonder what's over there that I shouldn't be coveting. Man, the next thing you know, you're closer, you got your ear to the fence. You're like, man, I can't hear anything. But I know that if I shouldn't covet what's over there, there's probably something incredible over there. So next thing you know, I'm climbing that fence trying to look over and see what he's got. See, that's what's in all of us. See, so now, what did Jesus do? Jesus came to fulfill the law. It doesn't matter what my neighbor has. Because I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ, that he's blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I don't want to access things laterally anymore. I want to access things in heaven now. So much so that as a new believer, as a babe in Christ, you get to this place where Jesus said, listen, here's how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So now what happens is that we can access heaven from right here. And we're like, yes. Oh my gosh, on earth as it is in heaven. But then you know what happens? We're living our life and we're taking this walk on the highway of holiness, this righteous path. And as we take steps of faith, you know what happens? We finally get to this place where we begin to grow a little more and we're elevated. And we take a few more steps of faith and the same thing happens again and we're elevated again. And we take a few more steps of faith and what happens? We're elevated again. And now what we have laterally is the blessed in heavenly places thing with every spiritual blessing. Why? Because God has elevated our life to the point where in Mark 16, 15, Jesus said, go. Man, go and make disciples of them all, of every nation. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. Man, they'll step on serpents and scorpions, it won't harm them. If they drink any deadly thing, it won't harm them. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. But what's the first thing? We have power over demons. Man, they come to Jesus and said, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe it. Even demons are subject to us in your name. Jesus said, sit down. Just a second, you're getting off. Why are you worrying about that? Do you understand? The devil is nothing. The devil is powerless now. He said, I saw him fall like lightning from heaven. Don't be freaking out because demons are subject to you in my name. Understand your name's written in heaven. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ now. And the things the world deals with, the curse of the world, poverty, sickness, and death, we don't deal with them anymore. You know why? We're elevated. The final enemy's been defeated. It's death. So now what do we deal with? Poverty and sickness. Poverty and sickness. Everything that all of us deal with amounts to those two things, poverty and sickness. So what do we have to overcome to live that overcoming life of poverty and sickness? Fear and pride. It's it. Everything else is taken care of. Your choice now is to walk and humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Man, in Luke, you know what Jesus said? The very finger of God is what defeated the devil. It doesn't say his hand. It doesn't say his arm. It doesn't say his strength. It says it's like the pinky of God defeated the devil. God gave him a pinky and it whipped him. I'm telling you, put that in your past today. Put that behind you today. And understand now, the enemies to your soul, the enemies to this overcoming life are one or two things, fear and pride. See, so you've got things in your life. It might be lust. It might be, it might be that your greed might be it. Man, it might be anger. You might have a murderous attitude about somebody. You know what you got to do? Say, no, listen, whoa, that's just pride. It's got a little bit of fear attached to it. God, forgive me. You haven't given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. God, think about having a sound mind today. Think about what you could do with your life if your thought was just right. Transformed in the image of his son. See, that's the sovereign will of God. It's for you to walk on this earth as he did. And then the grace of God comes into play. And what Jesus brought where he said, and the works that I do, you'll do, but greater. He said, look, because I go to my Father. Remember when Jesus went to the cross and God turned his head? He did that once and for all. And he will never do that with me and never do that with you because he did it with Jesus. Now Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Now Jesus is there as our advocate. So now every time God looks at us and what our lives are about, he has to look through his son, Jesus. And now we're hidden in Christ. And it's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. See, this is hopeful. This is something that could be amazing in all of our lives if we understand that us just hearing this word today, that the Holy Spirit and power come upon us. And it's dynamic in nature. And you know what? That power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the power that his presence brings, you know what it does? It changes situations and circumstances immediately. See, what it does, let me just tell you what it does. It separates the nitro and the glycerin of the attack of the enemy in your life. It defuses what the enemy's trying to blow your life up about. You know, God's not feverishly wondering which wire he's supposed to cut. He just, boom, extracts the wire and says, now you know all that is? It's something you've got to just walk away from in your life. It'll never harm you in Jesus' name. You had a diagnosis. You've got cancer. You've got heart disease. You've got lymphoma. You've got whatever. I'm telling you, leukemia. No matter what it is, if it has been named, you win. Because Jesus is named that everything has been named. Man, the doctor go, man, I don't know what it is. 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 Oh, here's what it is. It's an acute form of leukemia. You know what that is? That's the greatest news that you can get. Because you know why? They put a name on it. You know what God's word promises? Jesus is the name above every name. And every knee has to bow and every tongue, that acute leukemia has to bow and confess the name of Jesus as Lord of your life. It's not enticing words of men's wisdom. You're not here getting poetic, rhythmic, public speaking. It's just a demonstration of the power of God. Man, it's alive in my life, I'm just telling you. It's alive in Sandy's life. It's alive in elders and leaders and, man, people. It's alive in Chris's life. Why? Because of the work that God's doing in him and who he's around and where he is. Now it's like, guys like Chris could go, man, I got to go do something. I got to go get something done. I got to go build something because guys are builders. God's like, okay, whatever you put your hand to will prosper. God, what do you want me to do? Whatever. Whatever you want to do. God just cares who you're with and where you are. What you do, it's all up to you. Jesus said it's finished. Everything about the life of a believer shifts when that comes into play because it becomes my move. It's my move. You know all life is? Making decisions and solving problems. Man, if you could make decisions and solve problems, your value with men go way up. And how do you do that? Because you've got the Spirit of God and power on the inside of you. Do you see what your value happens? Man, it's like Proverbs 31 with most women. Man, your value is higher. Just as a virtuous woman, your value is higher than any precious metal, any stone, any gem, any amount of it. You're more valuable. See, that's the work, the finished work of Christ makes us more valuable than anything on the planet. Do you understand? Jesus was the answer, God's answer for the salvation of man. And God crucified him. And it became my move. It became your move. It became our move, where now we become God's solution, God's answer for the salvation of mankind. Jesus done. Everything that God has ever is ever going to do, he's already done. Now it's just our part to be witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Tulsa, Skytook, Sepulpa, the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm telling you, this message is what's pivotal. The method, it's not pivotal. The method that you parent isn't pivotal. The message you parent, that's what's pivotal. That's what lives forever. But you got to get that message. You got to get that message across your kids to the point where it goes three generations. This is for somebody. This is a freebie right here. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that this message gets so deep into your kids, the only thing they know to raise their kids is that message that you put in them. The message is what's sacred. He sent his word to heal us and deliver us of all our destruction. That's what's sacred. The method? Every generation will probably have a different one. I'm still trying to figure out video church. Hey, Sepulpa and Skytook, how you guys doing? People are getting saved. They're getting healed. They're getting delivered. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by technology. It's by the demonstration of the Spirit. It's by the power that comes with it. Man, there's a power in all of us. We access it by the name of Jesus, and that's it. Man, there's power in our words. When you speak God's word, do you understand, to angels and demons alike, it sounds like God. Do you understand, when you start speaking the word in your home, you know what happens? Your home fills with angelic hosts. Some of them come, listen, to perform God's will. Others just come to check it out. Oh my gosh, I've heard of this before. I've heard of this. I've heard of men and women that are fallible, that are flesh and blood and skin and cells and hair follicles and fallible. But when they speak, it sounds like the Father. That's how powerful your words are. You begin to speak God's word in season and out of season, whether it's comfortable or whether it's not, whether it looks like it's going to work and whether it doesn't. You begin to speak God's word. Guess what? That's what you'll start living. That's where the power is. Man, that's what God anoints. He anoints his word. You speak his word, your life's anointed. And God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was the word made flesh, and he dwelt among us. He showed us by his earthly walk how we're supposed to speak now. And don't give any never mind to that. Yeah, let that blind guy come to me. Yeah, suffer the little children. Yeah, that short guy that just climbed the tree, let's go have lunch at his house. See, we're all thinking about this. It's like, wait a second, we're making it way too difficult, overthinking it. We see a need, we fill it. We move on. We see a need, we fill it. We see a brother in need, we help him. We're all in.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.